Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the CleoCast. My name is Matt.
And I am RC, and you can call this kind of an emergency episode because there's a vote next week.
There is a vote next week. So for context about how these episodes usually go is I show up to our recording studio and I beg RC to start the episode basically immediately. And he then spends an hour basically doing the best podcast of his entire life right before the episode. Then we turn the microphones on, and this man takes about 10 minutes to warm up to the mic being in front of his face.
I like doing prep work. You want to raw dog the podcast. I like going in. I like getting the sources.
You already
together.
Wrote notes.
I have notes. I liked pulling up the sources because you guys... I don't want to subject you guys to us looking up articles like we do sometimes, so I like to get the prep work done.
We did have one person complain about the Oklahoma City episode where we were doing live research on air, but I think live research on air is fine because I feel like I was born for radio.
Yes. I feel like we could do like a two-hour radio show every day, especially if you have like the people calling in and telling you you suck. I feel like it's half the fun.
Yeah. What is it? The FCC would be so mad at us.
I guess that's the only problem is right here I can say fuck.
Yeah.
But if I'm on radio, I can't.
Yeah, the power of putting out your own radio show on the internet.
Realizing I just said like a curse word within 1 minute, so this episode's going to get like nuked on every single platform we post.
We can cut that out. We'll do some editing on this one. Editor's note, we did not do any editing. We just spliced this episode together and then put this in here for comedic effect. But so first, before we get into the bulk of this emergency episode, I'd like to apologize for not posting an episode for a month. That was our mistake.
I'd like to not apologize because I'm getting married and sometimes you get really busy planning stuff and you can't record your little podcast on Wednesday.
Yes. Also, you did rebuild your computer, which did take a little bit.
It did take me like a week. But
yeah.
So I would like to not apologize because this is kind of a hobby. So,
yeah.
You guys get what you get.
Yeah. So, but other than what we're going to talk about, I don't want to spoil it. How have you been?
I've been good. I'd like to point out that it's probably in the title. Like, we're probably going to title this something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm still not going to spoil it in case we don't, but it's just like, I know how we title these things.
Yeah. It's either going to be the stupidest name on planet Earth or exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah. It depends on which one of us wins out in the titling game, honestly. If it's exactly what it says, it's probably my title. If it's something bizarre, it's probably your title.
Yeah.
That's just how we work.
Also, if you ever read the descriptions, that's all me, baby.
Yeah. I let Matt have his creative freedom.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. So, I am going to be going to Seattle.
Nice.
It is going to be awesome. I've been excited somehow, some way. Every time I've checked for flights to go to Seattle, it's been from Kansas City. It's always been like super, super expensive. It's been like $600. And I'm just like, well, if I time it right on Google Flights, I can probably like literally cross the Atlantic for like $50 more. So I was just like, is it really worth going to Seattle? And then I just stumbled upon super cheap flights for Easter weekend. And because I'm not religious, I don't have to really do anything on Easter weekend.
Thinking about that and with the whole like Boeing kerfuffle that's been happening, to put it lightly, maybe we're going to start, like, it's going to be the, like, movie pass week where we have, and by that I mean, like, the cheap movie app or whatever.
Yeah.
That I guess has been dead for 10 years. But maybe we'll get the Boeing flights. It'll be half off or whatever, because if people aren't flying Boeing or aren't willing to fly Boeing.
So, it's cheap and I'm on Airbus both ways.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm not going to die.
I was just thinking about that because it's like, man, if I can get like a United 737 MAX or whatever flight to like New York for $20, I'm taking it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, nobody's died yet, right?
Other than the guys
in Africa who crashed the planes, like that started the whole Boeing 737 MAX thing that I just remembered.
Yeah, where like the MAX 7 or MAX 9 was banned from flying and basically like the entire like...
It was the MAX 8.
The MAX 8. It is like banned from flying basically internationally after that Ethiopian Airways incident.
Yeah.
So basically they were just being used domestically and then they started like falling apart with the doors blowing off.
I like that. And this is like, we are going completely off topic in our little intro like we normally do. But I like that it's not a problem when a couple of, like, yeah, it's like freak out, they ground the whole fleet. But it's not like a national whatever when two planes crash in Africa, but then when a door plug flies out on Alaskan Airlines, it's like bumper to bumper. There's congressional hearings. It's every single Boeing plane is like under scrutiny. It's like, it like only really feels like it became a thing that affected Boeing when it was like
Americans.
Yeah. Which, you know, I guess that makes sense. But.
If I was going to issue my honest opinion, which I am going to do because it's my show, we should nationalize Boeing. Like at this point, you've clearly like fumbled the bag so incredibly hard that literally the only way that you've stayed competitive for the past few years is us putting sanctions on Airbus, or like putting like trade restrictions on Airbus.
I feel like people in general, just there's like the stigma around like government doing things, but it's like if you just kind of take the leashes off and get like hire a couple public servants that are like good at the jobs, you get like a 1980s Conrail thing where they manage to make the companies profitable. Like I feel like most government programs that are like seen as wasteful are only that because of sabotage more than anything else by people who don't want them to be successful. So I do feel like if you like nationalized Boeing and just ran it like NASA, it would probably be incredibly well run. Like if you just put engineers in charge, you just hire people from USA Jobs and like be like, hey, you just got me an engineer.
Yeah, no more like MBAs and more just guys who like you cannot have a conversation about but will break the coffee machine trying to make it better.
Yeah, just get the finance guys out of it. And speaking of finance guys,
what?
The Royal Stadium.
There, yeah. You probably should have done a better transition.
That was a terrific transition.
I wasn't picking up what you were saying.
I know, you're just slow. It's okay. Yeah, you know, speaking of like finance,
yeah,
the Royal Stadium is happening.
So, as of recording, it is March 27th. Jackson County residents, your vote is April 2nd.
Mm-hmm. 6 days.
In 6 days. And if you haven't been paying attention, the discourse around it has been rough between extremely violently pro people and extremely violently no people. And also they changed their plans last second. We will get into that in a little bit, but we wanted to basically do a follow-up to our Royals breakdown episode and basically fill you in on what the discourse has been.
Well, the original episode was Royal Stadium, All We Know and How We Feel. We posted that February 13th. By this point, we know a lot more and we feel a lot, not differently, but differently.
Yeah. So like my personal opinion towards John Sherman has softened, but we
which I think we disagree on, but you can kind of expound if you want, or if we want to.
Well, we I will pick that up later because we actually wrote chapters because RC was kind of right and we did need to do some organization, not an hour long organization though. So the discourse from what I've seen is people on the yes, the vote yes side, believe that if you don't vote yes, they are going to leave. If you don't vote yes, basically the only thing you're saving is parking lots and a strip club. And if you don't vote yes, the city is going to stagnate.
Yeah, it's a mix of people, and obviously at both sides of the issue, there's an incredible mix of opinions and people and backgrounds. It's, you know, you can't really generalize it like some people try to, but it is a mix of sports fans who don't care about public issues, so that, you know, they just want cool stadium to go to or cool, you know, whatever stuff to help the Royals. It's a mix of people who just, you know, want development. They want more Kansas City, like Sprint Center or whatever, and they look at that and say, hey, Sprint Center was good. You know, Kauffman Center, Streetcar, Power and Light were all good, so let's just do more of that. There's the, you know, people who, I've seen people, there's a mix of that on the businesses who either say it's a completely run down and desolate area, it's blighted, or the Royals will outweigh any benefit that the businesses that do exist there provide via like tax revenue or whatever.
Yes. So let's go ahead and tackle the yes votes. We will get into the no's because there is some kind of ridiculous stuff being said on the no side as well.
Should we start right now by saying our, like, because this is like a thing, so like I'm for the stadium, I just want it to be in the East Village. That's like my opinion, just so you know that going in.
I am also for the stadium. I want it in the East Village.
Yeah, we're not like anti-downtown stadium.
We want a downtown stadium. the East Village, if you listen to our previous episode, was, in our opinion, the original picked site, yeah. and something somehow happened, which resulted in a last-second shift.
Yeah.
But first thing I want to touch on the list that I made about the yes voters, if we don't vote yes, the Royals and the Chiefs will move. Mm-hmm. So, one, just to set the record straight, the tax doesn't end currently until 7 years from now.
Yes.
We are voting on something that doesn't end for 7 years. So basically, you're taking it from 7 years ending to 47 years until ending. Yeah. And they are doing a hurry-up offense on this vote for whatever reason.
I believe the current language on the ballot is something along the lines of switching it from basically repealing the current tax, which I believe is a city improvement based tax. Like that's mm-hmm. like kind of the pool it's coming from, a 3/8 cent city improvement, and switching it to a parks commission 3/8 cent tax. So the amount you're paying in this is the same, but the tax is a new tax. It is a yeah. different tax. It is an extension of a tax that explicitly repeals the one in place. So it's like the weird technicalities, but it's like it's a legal thing, right? The technicalities yeah. do matter.
So on the teams moving, from what we've seen from John Sherman, is moving the team is not on the board. John Sherman, this is kind of why I'm more sympathetic to him now, is that's a man who seems to like actually have like some care for Kansas City, since it's, you know, his home. And he, like every single person, I don't care who you are, if you're like kind of plugged in to like the type of urbanist stuff that results in you listening to this podcast, you have a fantasy in your head of what you would do if you had the power and ability to do something that you think is good for your city. Mm-hmm. I think that this is one of those things where John Sherman thinks that this is the best thing for Kansas City in his head, but he actually has the power to do so. And I don't feel like he is going to, if he got a no on this, would run to Nashville, because he seems to like really want to keep the Royals in Kansas City.
They have said multiple times that they will, if this doesn't pass, they'll go back to the drawing board. They haven't said, if this doesn't pass, we're going to Nashville or we're going to Utah. They've said, we're going to go back to the drawing board and figure something else out. And they also have said that moving out of the city is not currently on their radar. And granted, if it fails, that could suddenly be on their radar. Yeah. But I mean, a guy who met his wife at a Royals game, supposedly, I don't think he's in a big hurry to move it out of the city, especially when you take into account the fact that these leagues do have relocation fees.
Yeah.
Like if you move your team out of the city it's in, you do have to pay the league a fee to move. You can't just do it for free.
And the last time an MLB team move was going to be the Montreal Expos, who became the Washington Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 40 years ago at this point.
Yeah, so there was no relocation fee then.
Yeah,
so there's nothing to really compare it to. But right now, if you compare it to, say, NFL teams, which are, I think, in general more valuable, but they are a good comparison for what the price range could be.
Yeah,
in 2017, you know, the Raiders moved from Oakland to Las Vegas, and
and in a vote yes ad that came out about a few days ago, the Raiders were mentioned in their vote yes ad when they were being random St. Louis. And I don't know why you're bringing St. Louis into Kansas City votes, but the Raiders were mentioned. Please continue. Yeah.
And this is also going for the Chiefs. We're going to talk about the Chiefs less, because they're, I think, less important in this whole vote thing, because it's not a new stadium. It's just a renovation. But this goes for the Chiefs if people talk about them moving too. The Raiders had to pay $350 million for the luxury of moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. In 2017 as well, the Chargers moved from San Diego to Los Angeles, and they had to pay $645 million. In 2016, the Rams moved to their home in Los Angeles, and they had to pay $555 million to the NFL, not including their billion-dollar fee they had to pay to the city of St. Louis.
When they got sued by the city of St. Yes. Louis for fucking them over, because if you play stupid games with city finances, like what could possibly happen with this situation, you will end up being sued and having to pay that city $1 billion. Yes. That's set precedent by St. Louis. But also another reason why you probably don't want to move after like having a weird, like messy stadium situation.
Yeah. And obviously all of our sources, we always link these in the bottom. I read these articles earlier. I'm not actually like quoting them right now. I'm just quoting them, but I will have them linked. But, yeah. Athletics, I think I saw a couple different sources from a few years ago or whatever. I'm not even sure if they're going to move to Las Vegas because that seems like a big cluster right now. But I saw some estimates as the first MLB team to move cities in 40 years, which keep that in mind for this whole process, is MLB teams don't move cities ever. Yeah. They're being expected to pay maybe $1 billion. That's like what I saw a lot of reporting say was the floor. It was maybe $1 billion for the worst team in the MLB. Whose payroll is less than Patrick Mahomes makes in a year. So it's like, even if it's half that, that's $500 million versus, you know, just paying a little bit more than you were already expecting to pay.
Yeah.
Because he's already said this is a $2 billion project. He wants, you know, $1 billion from the county, $1 billion he's going to pay, and any overhaul he's going to pay to, like, overreaching. So,
yeah. So, the teams, from the current standpoint, aren't going to move.
In our opinion,
and I feel like using that as an argument for voting yes is, his personal opinion, is a bit disingenuous and fear-mongering.
It does seem like a really, and I've seen this a lot, and you know, we, half of our podcast is just Twitter beef or whatever, but I have seen this a lot of people posting on Twitter in response to people saying, where I'm going to vote no for whatever reason, and them going, well, you want them to leave, huh? Huh? You want them to leave? Oh, you don't want them to leave? Then why aren't you voting yes? And it's just like, I don't think that's a healthy way to participate in this discussion.
Also, what you're doing is you're expecting us to be held hostage by sports teams.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly fair to the people of Kansas City to feel like they're being a hostage in a situation.
I mean, I know that a lot of people say that this is just the way these things work, but they do, and we saw this with the Royals themselves, where they pit North Kansas City against, you know, Jackson County, Clay County against Jackson County as kind of a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it's just like, I don't know why we or our governments allow billionaires and sports teams to leverage cities against one another. That just seems like an unhealthy way of running a city government or a state government or whatever.
Dollars tend to corrupt. Yeah. So the second point on the arguments I see from the vote yes people are, so you're fighting to preserve a strip club and parking lots.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, kind of, yeah. If I had an option between demolishing no businesses and demolishing some businesses, I feel like I'd pick the no businesses, because really, if John Sherman and the Royals organization really, really wanted to really care, you would care about the people who are going to lose their jobs. Also, businesses, it's an extremely expensive thing to move. People know that you are now dispossessed from your property, which will only result to exploitation via landlord, and also could potentially result in having to cut staff. So either way, this will impact jobs. And I'm just saying, you know, like, I know, like, people are using Temptations, the strip club, as a,
people love that.
Yeah.
Totally nude.
As an argument. And it's just like, I mean, you're just trying to find something that is shameful. I mean, but they're employees too. They're people who put food on the table doing that. And also, that's discounting. That is a business that will pay property taxes and pay taxes. Also, you're discounting the multiple bars and restaurants in the areas and the church that started renovations.
Well, yeah, and getting into the property tax, just in terms of demolishing businesses, is currently every single business in that area pays property taxes, the KC Star Building included.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've seen people tout the Royals, you know, well, they're not going to own the stadium. The county is going to own the stadium.
The county doesn't pay taxes to itself.
Yeah, and that's being fronted. I've seen a couple of times, and again, it's just me seeing things on Twitter, but as an argument in favor of the Royals, as in a look at how beneficial, you know, benevolent they are because they're allowing the county to own the stadium. And it's like the county currently owns Kauffman. They lease it to the Royals. I just saw they renewed the lease for Kauffman for $2.75 million, which is great. You know, whatever, the county's making money. But, you know, the sales tax we're talking about is for, like, I think $40 million per team or $20 million per team. I can't remember exactly. So they already, like, the lease is way less than the county's giving them for free. And also, the county doesn't, like you said, doesn't pay property taxes on its own properties, because what's the point of that? And that's why they're allowing the county to own the buildings, because you better believe if they were able to make more money by owning the building than the county does by leasing it to them, they would be doing that, because they're not acting benevolently out of the, you know, goodness of their heart. They're just, they pay less taxes this way. All of a sudden, you're going to turn this entire lot of Crossroads, the North Crossroads, into a property tax hole, because it's just going to be the Royals. They're like, none of their properties are going to pay property tax because they're all going to be leased out by the county.
So, I mean, yeah, it's you can make the argument, like, a downtown stadium would definitely be an improvement to Kauffman. But once again, back to my point that I made a little bit earlier, is if I had the choice between no businesses and some businesses being demolished, I feel like I'd pick the no businesses.
I feel like from, and this gets into we're kind of, you know, this one could argue that this is like a NIMBY take, right? Like, no, yeah, I don't want this. But I feel like there's a difference in somebody not wanting an apartment complex to go in next to the house, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody buying a lot and trying to put in an apartment complex and fighting tooth and nail to get that down. Or like Prairie Village, where the city government in Prairie Village is just simply trying to upzone some areas so property developers, if they want to, can come in and buy land and build higher density housing there. I feel like there's a difference between that and between the Royals coming in and taking areas that don't, like buying or forcing the city to make them sell or buying out the landlords of businesses, because a lot of these businesses do not own their buildings and therefore do not get a say in this, buying out those businesses and tearing them down against their will. I mean, it's like the difference between an apartment complex going in next door and an apartment complex buying out the landlord of your apartment complex and putting in a new apartment complex that you're not allowed to live in.
Yeah. Another vote yes argument I've seen is you don't want the 670 cap. And I have terrible news for you, is Kansas City did not get the grant for the 670 cap.
Yeah, they needed a federal grant for that.
That even in the render, that's not happening.
And quite frankly, the rendering, if you look at the one the Royals, you know, they're pushing around.
Yeah.
The bit that's next to the stadium was never a part of the actual 670 proposal that we just lost the grant for. And the Royals never actually offered to pay for that. They just kind of included it to look good. But the actual 670 cap ended at grand, the one that the city was actually like pursuing. So that bit all the way to Oak was just never actually a part of the plan. The Royals just tried to piggyback off of the goodwill that project had.
Yeah.
So,
and that project is no longer happening. And I am sorry for people who are discovering that is the news, but that park is gone. Other vote yes arguments I've seen, one that kind of made me mad is your vote doesn't matter, so vote yes anyway. That was frustrating because people are allowed to express themselves. That's a pretty extreme take.
Which it makes sense from a, they're billionaires, they'll do whatever they do.
Yeah.
But it just is kind of a, well, why even bother, right? And it's like, I think there's a lot of reasons to care about your community and to try to, you know, improve it the best way you see fit, whether you're a vote yes or vote no. Like, whichever side you're on, your vote does matter and it should matter. And if it doesn't matter, then we need to figure out how to make it matter, right?
Yeah. What are other vote yes arguments we usually see?
I feel like we listed out a bunch and then we didn't write them down.
We did not write them down.
I have to remember them. But I mean, I just, I don't know, there's a lot of
and
different opinions on this. I've seen just the straight up sports people that like want them to be there, you know, regardless of whatever.
Yeah.
I think you guys, you know, you can like your sports and stuff, but when it comes to local politics, you do have to take into account the people that like live and work and reside in the area, especially if you're like, you know, not going to actually go to the games and you just watch them on TV.
Or you're not going to attempt to do any ounce of like looking into the situation.
Yeah, the ignorance takes of people who don't care and just want to vote yes because they just like sports. That's the one where it's like that. At least have a reason, you know. Yeah. At least vote because you're like taking a side, not just taking the side of Royals good because I like baseball. And that's the other thing is who is voting for this? If you're there, please send us an email or something. Who is voting for this because they just like the Royals? Because what have the Royals given you in the past 10 years to vote yes on them for? It's from the perspective of they just haven't been good. I've been trying to watch them for years, but they just suck so bad, man. I don't know. That's where the Chiefs come in. They're the heavy hitters in that regard.
Yeah, and on the sucking so bad, that's where, like, some of the stuff that I've been learning about John Sherman. One, he's a very, very green MLB owner.
Yes.
And it seems like he's attempting to put more money behind the Royals than what used to be put behind the Royals. With Bobby Witt Jr. contract, he seems to be signing some okay players.
Which, I think that they're going to be better this year. Yeah. I say that every year, and every year I'm embarrassed, but I think they're going to be better this year. I think they genuinely have actually put some money forward.
And it seems like John Sherman cares about the Royals and cares in his own way about Kansas City. Probably got way, way above his head on this entire situation and didn't expect it to be as much of a boondoggle, but that's what happens when you are playing with millions, if not billions, of public dollars and also, you know, change your plans last second all the time.
Which we'll obviously get to this later, but I feel like if you were doing this and trying to look as bad as possible, there's not much you would do differently than what they've done.
Unless you, like, drown a dog on, like, national TV.
Yeah.
Some other stuff, moving on from the vote yes people, some stuff that I've seen as like disinformation out there is people saying that there is going to be an entertainment district and they don't want to build on the East Village site because that's going to compete with Power and Light. And I mean,
well, broader. Okay. So there's a lot of people who are voting yes, or at least argue for the Crossroads site over the East Village because they say, whether it be Cordish, I think we went over this in the last episode, but I'll just summarize it. Basically, Cordish owns Power and Light, but they lose money on it every single year, and the city kind of pays them some form of subsidy to keep it open, basically. Any money they lose, the city helps keep up because the city values that spot or whatever. So there's some people that have theorized that either Cordish talked to the Royals or Cordish talked to the city and the city talked to the Royals to get them to pick the Crossroads site instead of the East Village because they don't want the East Village site to draw away from Power and Light. So basically to help buoy Power and Light by putting it in the Crossroads. I don't think that, and obviously the city has been completely quiet on this and like all aspects, so I don't know, but I don't think, and we talked about this last episode, that it makes a lot of sense for the city to be the ones pushing the Crossroads site heavily, because the city owns and has leased out to Van Trust for demolition purposes pretty much that entire parcel of land in the East Village and have demolished it
where they did soil samples. Yeah. Which, if you listen to the last episode, the soil samples were done to check about the structural integrity.
Yeah, the Royals were doing prep work in the East Village. The city very clearly was interested in them. And then where we kind of think what happened was the Casey Star building owners, you know, talked to the Royals sometime in like November or October. And then the Royals kind of suddenly switched gears to the Casey Star Crossroads site by January. So we just like the Power and Light thing. I don't think the East Village plan, which you can't really find anywhere. It's like they've scrubbed it off the internet or whatever.
We do have an archive link we'll put in the description.
Yeah, it was in our notes last time. It'll be in our notes this time. But I don't think it even included like an entertainment district because why would it?
Yeah.
I think that the cross, I think effectively what they did is the Crossroads site, at least building wise, is pretty much the same as the East Village site. They just move locations and shuffle the buildings around.
And even if you did build an entertainment district, and like, you can have multiple entertainment, you can have multiple bar districts. There's plenty of cities that have multiple drinking areas. Hell, Kansas City has multiple drinking areas. You know people who drink in Power Line and then go to Westport.
Or it's like saying that all the breweries in that north area, the Crossroads, that people are using as to why the Crossroads is a good location. It's like saying that those somehow draw away from Power and Light. And it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, then why would you put the stadium near all those bars and not put them in the East Village where it's closer to Power and Light than it is to those Crossroads bars, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes no sense because I think that they're, again, I think there's a lot of cases of this going around the yes, vote yes community where there's somebody says something and then people just kind of repost it as fact. As in, somebody says that, you know, the highway is going to be an issue, like, I saw that going around out of the blue somewhere where somebody says that I-70, you know, Missouri Department of Transportation and the federal government is unwilling to remediate any of those highways to improve access to the East Village site. And that's why they didn't select it. Is there any sourcing for that I can find? No, it's just some guy posted it on Twitter on a screenshot and then yeah. Somebody else took the screenshot and now it's fact. Even though there's a transit center in the East Village that would help, you know, traffic flow. And also, there's already highway entrances and exits.
And another thing that about just like saying something, just hearsay and just stuff that you hear rumors. We have heard floating around that the East Village site was cut off entirely because the federal government objected, not because of highways, but because there is a federal building around there, mm-hmm. and they were scared about security concerns. And we saw that floating around a significant amount of, you know, time that we did submit a FOIA to the Federal Government Freedom of Information Act to ask if they were discussing with the Royals about security issues, and they said that they weren't. So
they said at the very least they couldn't find anything.
They couldn't find anything.
So, and that's one of those things where I couldn't find a single article talking about security that wasn't just referencing, you know, like circular referencing, mm-hmm. where it's articles referencing other articles, but there's no actual like person saying it.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything on that. It's just like both of these claims that I'm talking about that I saw in a screenshot that like is making the rounds heavily. There's just nothing behind them. It's just like person saying something. And then that's all of a sudden, well, that's the reason, because I think doesn't make sense why they suddenly didn't pick the East Village site. And I think people are looking for reasons why they see that, and then that makes sense because the current way that they've been handling it, a lot of things just don't make sense. So when somebody presents a reason, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Let's go with that.
So since we're both citing this, let's switch to the extremes of the vote no that are weird and extreme. So,
oh God.
Yeah, oh God.
Vote no definitely has the larger mix of opinions and angles that they're taking from this.
That some of which also make absolutely no sense. Once again, personal opinion, we are pro downtown stadium, but we are anti yes. We want you to vote no because the Royals have said they'll go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, our simple pitch for this is just simply they have handled this poorly enough that they do not deserve a yes vote. Whether you like the downtown stadium or not, this has been such a boondoggle that we cannot reward them for handling it this poorly. So it does not incentivize them to just operate the same way in the future.
They have to hire a PR team. They have to make an actual plan. They need to do the stuff that you...
Changing the plan from the rendering that everybody is voting on after early voting has started and 6 days before the vote should be unacceptable and should get the project pulled from the ballot and moved to the November ballot.
Which did happen. They did publish more stuff today.
Which we're getting ahead of ourselves,
we'll talk about it. Okay, so okay,
vote no.
Vote no people. Vote no people who say Kauffman's fine enough. Yeah, but also, I mean, it's... So the landscape of baseball is changing. baseball has had declining viewership for a while now, and it's a sport that gained popularity and became America's pastime when America was a very different cultural beast, where there was more ability, more transit, more free time, and also plenty of options to be able to go to a random Tuesday 11:30 game down the street from your house in your city, and you take the trolley there. That was the like iconic golden era of baseball. The landscape shifted towards building large sports complexes. Plenty of cities did it, including Kansas City. And now baseball particularly has been shifting back since the 90s when the old Baltimore Orioles built Camden Yards, which is an impressive feat of design and impact to, you know, baseball, of bringing back the downtown stadiums.
Yes.
Downtown stadiums allow for the nature of baseball to be like a come in and out, cheap, long-term form of entertainment. And being downtown really helps that. Being having parking, when I went to Royals game, I paid more in parking than I paid for my ticket.
It's just the K is in a terrible location. Like, you can like the parking, you can like any of that stuff, but there's nothing around it. There's barely any hotels around it. It's easy to get to because of the highways, but that's part of the problem is the highways right there.
It's time to move on and time to do a development that will bring jobs to Kansas City, just in a better location with a better plan. And another thing that I see as well on the vote no is I have good memories of the K. I'm like, yeah, I have good memories of the K too. I watched Zach Greinke get his Cy Young Award, and I like still have that t-shirt floating around that doesn't fit. Because, I mean, I went with my dad and I went with RC here, and it's just like, it's, I have plenty of memories of the K as well. It's, but I realize times change, and really it might be time to move on.
There's nothing, it's a good stadium. It's fun. It's cool, but there's nothing so innately historical about it that means that we need to continue to use it for the rest of time.
It's not Fenway. And also like a stadium that was historic, like Yankee Stadium, they built a carbon copy literally across the street from it, but that's a brand new stadium. It doesn't have any of the old bones. It's like basically a ship of Theseus. If the ship of Theseus is built next to the ship of Theseus, and you tore down the ship of Theseus next to it. Yeah. It's a pile of concrete.
I don't want to say it's just a stadium, but guys, it's just a stadium. Build more stadiums. We can build better stadiums. Arrowhead does have the better,
cultural cachet.
Yeah, cultural cachet. I mean, it's the first. Arrowhead is the one where I would actually be kind of upset if they tore it down, because that is more than just a stadium. But Kauffman Stadium, guys, it's
and
baseball and stadiums are meant to change.
Okay? And baseball attendance has gone down. You do not need a stadium that has literally probably one of the largest capacities for fans in it. It's, you don't need a massive parking lot. You do not. It's too big in the places that it doesn't need to be big, especially in a sport that's declining.
Yes.
And it's too small in a lot of the stuff where they've said that their, you know, interior facilities are too small. Their locker rooms are too small. Their like actual space for office staff is too small. That's where it's also lacking room. Like, I understand you guys can probably need like more room for like a nice fancy dugout or like in locker room, because locker room was designed in the 70s. And times have changed. Lockers have gotten bigger. They probably want like a bunch of TVs, you know.
And probably my last point on this is it makes sense to have a football stadium outside of the town on the outskirts and a big parking lot, because of the nature of how football is played. Is you play, you know, 17, 18, however many games we're going to have in 20 years, games per year, with a 100,000 person stadium. Mm-hmm. You need a giant parking lot, whatever. But it's not like used that much, whereas with baseball it's like
100+ games a year,
and you need like good transit access because you're getting games pretty much every day in some months.
Yeah, so it's just,
It makes more sense for baseball to be, you know, more transit oriented, closer to where people live and stuff, because it is a more like personal sport,
and it's an in and out sport as well. It's one of those like things where you can show up late to a baseball game and it's not the end of the world. You can leave early from a baseball game and it's not really the end of the world. Yeah,
football is an event, right?
Yeah,
baseball is a game. Football is like an event the way we treat it nowadays. So
I
don't know, that's the save the K people. You know, you're great. You have good memories. Nostalgia is too strong, though. You got to let it go. It's okay. It's okay to do new things.
Yeah.
We don't have a, you know, strong attachment to like Cable Dahmer Arena or Kemper Arena or whatever. We allowed the Sprint Center to be built. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So another vote no thing I see is the arguments that a billionaire should not get any public funding. And it's just like, yes, from the idea, I understand. Yes, he clearly would be able to, in aspects, build his own stadium. But, you know, I mean, being able to own the stadium as a community and be able to offer, like, community benefits agreements, which we'll get into that later, being able to force that basically onto an organization, you do that by providing some tax dollars.
Basically, us providing tax dollars towards this does give the county leverage in a situation where they otherwise wouldn't if it was a... And it's not a good argument necessarily for why we should fork over $2 billion to two billionaires, but it does... It is the vehicle that gives the county leverage in negotiating with John Sherman instead of John Sherman just doing whatever he wants, right? Yes. Because, and you've seen this, they are kind of desperate to get this tax to pass, which if we had simply continued the veto Frank White had demanding more information, we probably could have forced them to come up with a better agreement. But because we just put it on the ballot sight unseen, we lost that leverage. But that's the point, is they do like not paying for things because they're billionaires, because they like not paying for things. So providing some tax dollars allows the community to basically claw more out of them.
Yes.
And, you know, make a better deal for
them. And they wouldn't have to do a community bargaining agreement at all if John Sherman paid for it entirely. John Sherman just buy the land and build the stadium itself without 1 ounce of thought or impact to a community whatsoever.
Yeah, so I sympathize. I wish we didn't have to pay, but it is a good vehicle for getting something out of the billionaires. You know?
To be able to force them to do certain things, whereas if they bought the land, they would basically be able to build whatever they wanted.
Yeah, holding them accountable.
And the final vote no argument, which I feel like is... it's very similar to another vote yes argument, which is... Fuck them, let them leave. And it's just like, guys, they're not going to do that. They're not leaving. You have to. You can't just like cut them loose. We gotta, like, they're not going to leave at this current point.
Yeah.
You gotta at least make them put in the effort to deal with the city on a fair level.
We can feasibly force a better deal out of this if we do it right as a city, as a county, whatever. But if we just take the fuck them approach, if you want them to leave, if there is any way to make them leave, that is the only way to make them leave, is if the county tells them to fuck off, is that might actually like get them to look at their other options. But if we just come at this from a good faith perspective that I don't think that they're coming at it with, the billionaires, I don't think they're doing this in very good faith right now. But if we do it in good faith, then they're not going to leave. I mean, they want the money. They have a built-in fan base right here already that's been going to Chiefs games even when they sucked in like 2012, 2013, 2010, 2011,
yeah,
2009. So they know the money's there. I mean, yeah, they know that we're like die hard, and that's, they don't want to have to build also that up in like Utah.
And I mean, like, Clark Hunt has a house in Arrowhead.
Yeah. He has a three. Look it up. He has a three-story house inside Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's also
what you're paying for. By the way.
Also, his dad built the stadium, so I feel like it's too sentimental to him.
It's literally he does have a little bit of the, like, you know, weird daddy complex of, his dad's legacy and stuff. He won't get rid of Arrowhead. As much as we talk about like the moving to Kansas or something, it's like I genuinely think that Clark Kent will have to go see a psychologist to be able to do that. He can't do it.
Yeah.
He's too connected.
Also, he cannot spend an ounce of money, as you see with the like players' reports where he's just getting F's across the board.
Talking about doing this the worst possible way you could do this, just it coming out in the middle of while you're asking the community for hundreds of millions of dollars that you're not giving the best player to ever play football air conditioning in the practice facility, and he's like, hey guys, and then it coming out the same day that I didn't promise them a practice facility. I mean, 47 of 67 players surveyed in the anonymous survey said that we told them that they would have a, you know, practice facility upgrade. I never told them that. Look at me. I'm Clark Kent. I'm only worth like $20 billion. I can't afford that kind of stuff, dude. What are you talking about? It's just like, just it coming Clark, out that he's a cheap ass.
Clark. Clark. And it another Hunt, this is a kind of a sidebar, but another Hunt thing is Lamar Hunt, who started the Chiefs. His first season in the, it was the AFL, right? He lost $1 million. And his dad is quoted, if he keeps it up, he can do this for another 100 years. Yeah. So they have enough money.
Trust me. I mean, they're oil guys, you know, they're not hurting for it, people. Like, and just on the vote no side for the Chiefs, if this was split up, which I guess that's something we can kind of talk about, is why are we voting for the Chiefs and Royals as a package deal? If
they
the
shouldn't,
Royals
they
are
shouldn't
leaving
be,
the Truman Sports Complex.
They
this
shouldn't
is a
be
Truman,
tied together anymore.
This is a Truman Sports Complex funding tax. Yeah. That's what it was designed for. But the Royals are planning on not being a Truman Sports Complex. So why? We really should be voting on these separately. It doesn't really make that much sense. But getting into the Chiefs side of it, and this is pretty much all we'll say because this is a Royals focus episode, but holy cow, their stuff looks terrible.
Yes.
It's like literally they're asking for $800 million from the community to build luxury boxes that nobody can afford and to cut out seats from the end zones to build those luxury boxes, which means that the regular price, like the regular person tickets are going to be even more expensive
also,
because there's less seats.
Also, usually like the seats on the end are super cheap because the best seat in the NFL is around the 50-yard line.
Yeah. Which they know, and it's why they're doing the end zone boxes, is to bump up the price of those, to have it be like a $7,000 luxury suite. It's just ridiculous, because it's like, I mean, there's nothing in that. I thought they're not using the Kauffman Stadium site when it's demolished for anything other than expanding parking. It's just like, how out of touch can you
be? But they are building a permanent Bud Light experience tent.
Oh, my God. It's just like, out of touch, right?
Yeah.
Easy way to get a vote yes from probably a lot more people is just be like, hey, as a billionaire, the streetcar that is incredibly popular in the area, that east-west expansion, I'm going to pay for it to come to Arrowhead. There you go.
But you lose out on your $50 of parking.
Well, exactly. But see, that would be a good faith. Hey, for the people who can maybe afford a ticket but can't afford for the $50 parking or whatever, I'm going to make it better for you guys. Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here you go. Streetcar. That would get people to vote yes. That would be a good, reasonably priced thing. Or, the entire north-south extension for the streetcar is about $250 million right now. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even need to book up that much money.
He can't put air conditioning for the best player in the NFL. He's not going to build a streetcar expansion.
But it's like from where the east-west expansion is planned to end at the Lynwood Boulevard, 31st Street, Stadium Drive, weird. I don't even know what kind of intersection that is. It's like a 12-way intersection.
Yeah.
Thing is a mess. It's only like and with like basically no stops included in this extra line that they could feasibly build, it would only be about 2.5-ish miles with minimal infrastructure, and it's on a not very busy road. So unlike the Main Street expansion, which is $200 million, they could do that probably a lot less, and it would be a lot more public goodwill towards this entire vote as a whole. But they're unwilling to do that, and that gets into the bad PR of this whole project.
Yeah. So I feel like it's time to move on to our next chapter, which is chapter 3, the CBA. It exists, apparently.
Supposedly.
So city officials and county officials have said that it exists. It's 60-something pages long.
I've seen a picture that Manny Abarca, county legislative official, posted of one page of it on Twitter.com.
One page out of 60-something. I believe it was KCTV 5 who did a TV segment in which a reporter was holding it in her hands, saying it was written by actual lawyers, but they also have not published it. Yeah. We have reached out to the three major like local news companies, the like NBC, ABC, or NBC, CBS, and Fox affiliates.
Yeah.
For comment, or like if they have copies that they're planning to release to the public. We have not heard back from them. We also have contacted KCUR to see if they have a copy about that. We also have not heard back on that, but they at least gave us a more automated response. So, word's still out on if we can see it or what, but also weird to release something that is supposed to benefit the community and give a breakdown of what you're giving to the community and not put it out.
Well, it's just, and it pisses me off a little bit where, and I'm sure there's, maybe there's other legislators or whatever that have been more vocal about this, but Manny, and he is a public official, so I'm going to name him, is the one who's been the most vocal about this, and he's been talking about how great it is for the community. He's been talking about working hard day and night. He's been posting like little pictures of it. He's like, he had a meeting yesterday, and he had the RSVP for the meeting if you wanted a copy of it, but he had copies for the public. But it's like, okay, like us, for example, we made plans Sunday. We bought tickets to go to like Dune or whatever. I, you know, paid money, made reservations, whatever. And then Monday comes out the CBA. Manny says, okay, the meeting's tomorrow. And it's like, okay, well, I can't go to it. You gave me less than 24 hours notice. So I guess I just don't get to see the CBA now. I missed out on the special club. I don't get to see it. Ha ha. Didn't post it anywhere. Nobody's posted it anywhere. There's no copy. The Royals haven't posted it. And if it's this super big, great, super duper awesome community benefits agreement that everybody's going to be happy on, wouldn't you think that the Vote Yes campaign would post that everywhere they could?
Unless it sucks.
Unless it sucks. I don't know. I haven't read it. It could be anything. It could say that everybody gets free ice cream Sundays. I don't know. Who knows? All I have is the three bullet points that the Royals put out. It's like a little thing on their Twitter where it's talking about here's what it basically contains. But it's a 60-page CBA that actually exists. That's the one that Manny has. That's one of all the county legislators have. That's the one I want to see. I don't want to see three bullet points. Who knows what the other 60 pages are?
Yeah, and it's just like it's saying it was written by actual lawyers. It was just like, I mean, yeah, understandably. But also, like, I want to know what the contents of it is.
CBAs work by being binding agreements between an organization and the community and its surrounds. So what matters is what is actually binding and what enforcement mechanisms the county and city have to enforce that. Because if it's a toothless agreement where they say we're going to hire 25% union wage, you know, union workers, but there's no enforcement mechanism for that, it may as well not exist.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can't go read that before the vote on April 2nd in 6 days and see what exactly the Royals are offering to the community in exchange for the votes is completely ridiculous. That's effectively what people are voting on, is what is actually going to be given to the community, what is going to be provided, what is the enforcement mechanism for those provisions, and like, you know, what they're getting out of it, and they can't see it. They're like, the legislature's playing keep away.
And it's kind of a, unless there's some sort of like weird thing where like if you post this, you're going to get sued by the Royals and Chiefs. I feel like if you could say that if you're a news organization, because you're not saying anything and just holding it on a aired TV broadcast.
Have you ever heard of the Pentagon Papers? You know, for the Vietnam War, where the New York Times was given super top secret documents and then they published it and then they got sued for publishing it. But then the Supreme Court ruled that actually you can't be sued for publishing something someone else gives you. Yeah, they could publish it if they want to. There is literally, like, the Supreme Court argument says that they could publish it if they want to. They can't be sued. It's like there's nothing stopping them.
So my question for the journalists and, like, your, like, integrity, not your integrity, just, like, is it an oversight why you haven't posted it, or are you guys, what's going on?
Like, collectively, has every single news organization in the county just, like, forgotten to post the super big community benefits agreement that we were promised, you know, in February, that it would be here by February 21st, and then all of a sudden it's taken until 7 days before the vote to be posted, and 6 days before the vote, we still don't have it?
Yeah, and even if you did post it, it should be like within reasonable access of the public, and we spent over an hour digging across multiple websites, calling news agencies, emailing news agencies, reading all of their articles, going to the Royals and Chiefs official pages, going to the Vote Yes campaign page. Couldn't find it anywhere. And
literally, the only things that exist from what we have found are articles talking about how it was sent to the legislators and sent publicly, articles talking about Manny's meeting, articles of journalists being at Manny's meeting and receiving copies, and then nothing. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing. So if you're a journalist and your job is to inform the public and to, you know, be the fourth, you know, pillar of government, you know, keep government accountable, what's the holdup, guys? Because here's the county providing you with documents and then you're just deciding not to give them to people.
And I, yeah, it's,
you
like,
can't make an informed decision on this vote because you don't have half of the information.
Well, you also can't make an informed decision when they change the plan literally after voting started, which is going to lead me into chapter number four.
No, I'm still in chapter 3.5. Chapter 3.5 of just journalistic integrity, because it's like, guys, and every time I've heard an interview with the Royals or anything like that, it's like, can we ask some actual questions? Because
can you come up with one hard question?
A radio show I really like, I'm not going to name it because I don't want like them, whatever. But it's like they have John Sherman on.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, wow, you know, how great it is. They may have asked like one hard question. I don't have every question they ask memorized, but I remember them not really doing that much. It's just kind of like, wow, so you met your wife at Royals games? And it's like, okay, is this a PR piece or are you guys actually journalists? Like, what are we doing here? You got John Sherman on. How about you ask him, hey, why'd you guys select the Crossroads over the East Village? Oh, what was your talk? What did you guys talk about to the KC Star Building owners in November? Like, because that seemed to happen, and then all of a sudden, the KC Star Building site and the Crossroads, which wasn't an option before, suddenly became the option. Like, what happened there?
Why haven't you provided more information to the public when you promised you were going to be transparent?
Yeah, you promised transparency.
And we're not trying to be hard on you, John. What I would say if I was in the position, I'm not trying to be hard on you. We're just going to ask some hard questions here and just want to know what your answers are to this. Because you are, I mean, the buck stops with you with the Royals.
Yeah, John.
You're the owner.
Sorry, our job is to inform the public, and I got to ask you this, you know. You promised transparency back before you even announced the sites, right? Mm-hmm. You announced the sites. It's between the Northland and the East Village. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, we're definitely going to have a site selected by September. And then all of a sudden you say, we don't have one. It's now, you know, October, November, December. Okay, now we have a site. It's the Crossroads. Like, okay, what was your process during that, you know? How did you come to select those two sites? Like, you had two. How did you select those? Why did you decide those were good? And then why did you suddenly decide they weren't good? What happened there?
Yeah. Unless John only agreed to go on the show because if he was able to review the questions beforehand. And
same with the city government, right? Okay, we'll get into this one real quick. There's an article from KCUR, which is one of the only good journalists who I think has been covering this topic, Celicia Calacal, and it's talking about, here's where the city elected officials stand on the April 2nd.
She was mentioned a few times in our other episode.
Yeah, right? She does good work. She's actually doing good questions. And this article, we're just going to kind of summarize it because this is obviously a really long series and we're not trying to take up too much of your time. But it's effectively getting a lot of the county and city officials and getting either asking them, I think she said, where was it? It was basically asking all of them what their opinions are. I think over half of them did not say anything in response to their multiple questions. They said more than half of city council members either did not respond to KCUR's request for comment or said they would not comment on how they plan to vote, which I think is completely unacceptable. But yeah, right there. It's just like a lot of them, they just, you know, Cilicia had to basically parse together what their opinion might be based off of other public comments they've made.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just, in general, we don't even know. There's just been absolute silence, radio silence from most city officials on this, other than Manny, other than Mayor Q said a couple of things today.
Well, Manny's a county official, but elected
officials. I'm just talking in general here. But and like Eric Bunch is the weird one because he's normally very vocal on just issues in general, but he I believe
quote, I'm staying out of this one for now, end quote.
Why are you staying out of this one for now? Like, what? No, maybe somebody has, but nobody's been asking these guys, hey, why, Mayor Q, you're the, you know, mayor of the city, why are you so quiet on this? Why can't you just say what you think? Like, you don't want to influence the voters' opinions. Okay, but influence the voters' opinions. Get a better deal. Talk about this. Hey, I'm voting no because I don't think we have enough information. Frank White's allowed to say that. Why is nobody else?
Good on Frank White.
It's just, I don't know. And journalists not asking why they're being quiet other than Cilicia from what I've seen. It's just a ridiculous situation we have, I think. And I think we've been completely failed by both our public officials and by our journalists in actually pursuing these questions. That now we can move on chapter four. Right. That's my soapbox. I'm sorry.
So, chapter four. This is going to be a pivot to why has this been so sloppy? Directed at John Sherman and Clark Hunt. Why, with the power, staff, influence, and ability, has this been so weirdly difficult, murky, not well thought out? Seems like you guys don't actually really have plans and have not been transparent through almost the entire process, and feel like you're being disingenuous with the public. I feel like you're in a negotiation with the community. I understand that you need to negotiate to get the best deal for yourself. I just want to know why it's been so sloppy, and I feel like it really shouldn't be acceptable for two massive $1 billion-plus organizations to be just massive amateurs.
Well, it's just it's a
sideshow. You guys are being complete amateurs, considering that, like, even the Vote Yes campaign, the treasurer of the organization's actual home address was the address registered on the LLC for like a while.
Yeah,
it's just like you guys can't get this like together.
It's just like they've been acting like a college student that realized that their paper, their 20-page paper is due in 2 weeks, and they're just doing everything they can to, oh my God, I got to get this. I'll get sites done by September, whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, push it back. Hey, can I get an extension? Can I get another extension, please? I'm like working really hard on this, guys. You don't know. It's really complex. It's a really complex issue. You wouldn't understand, but also I need more time.
Yeah.
Like, they were caught slacking off, and then it's just like, guys, what's the rush?
Yeah.
Like, what is the reason it has to be on the April ballot if we're not even planning on starting construction until, like, after the World Cup?
Or you're going to, like, change the plan before the April 2nd vote, but early voting's already started. That is messy, and that should not be acceptable.
Get it off the ballot. If I propose, like, an extension to my house, right? Yeah. To the county government or whatever, you know, the planning commission. And I'm like, hey, I want to put in like a new garage right here. And it's going to be a one whatever garage, you know, whatever, 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And then I come out 2 days before the planning commission meeting. You know, they've already started preliminary approvals. They've already started all this stuff. They've done a bunch of work. And I'm like, actually, it's going to be a 6,000 foot approval. It's actually going to be a residence now. You know, I'm just changing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
They'd reject it. They'd be like, hey, this isn't your original proposal. This is something different. Like, regardless of whether it's still in the same site, you know, it's still the Crossroads site. But if you look at the renderings, they've said after Mayor Q gave them the lightest amount of criticism of, we should keep Oak Street open.
We'll get into that.
But they had to change the proposal because if you look at the rendering, which I'm sure we'll have linked, or it'll probably be the picture or something, Oak goes right through right field and goes through a lot of seats.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. You're spoiling a chapter.
I'm just saying, like, that is a major enough changer. It's just like you should like.
Yeah.
I have to go back to the drawing board. Like, you guys need to solid this out before you get it on the ballot.
Yeah. And also, like, if the shoe is on the other foot, you're both businessmen. If someone came to you with a couple pretty pictures and three sheets of bullet points and ask for, like, millions of dollars of your own money, you would say no in a heartbeat.
Unless you're the owner of the Casey Star Building.
Allegedly,
because nobody's actually asked them what happened in that meeting that they've had. They had two different meetings in both November and January.
I don't feel like they would answer, But
yeah, but they did have two meetings, and that's all we know is they had two meetings where the KC Star building owner pitched the site to John Sherman, and then all of a sudden it became the site, and we still don't actually know what the pitch was and how John, he managed to convince him.
Even though John Sherman promised transparency.
Yeah. But you know, that's irrelevant. That's really not relevant at all.
And all, like, you guys, John Sherman and Clark Hunt, you would not do it because, like, Clark Hunt, you won't even get AC for your star player, and John Sherman, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Doing his best.
He is like it. I'm getting really kind of sympathetic because it seems so like incredibly stupid that I feel like he's gotten himself way over his head.
Is he the Gerald Ford of baseball honors?
I don't know.
Is he our Gerald Ford?
Where he just like bumbled his way into like an absolute boondoggle when he was trying to have his best, like he had the best interest in his heart, but he just completely dropped the bag entirely by just not doing basic due diligence.
You know, it's, and this is going to be an aside, it's incredible that like if you or I applied to like, if you applied to be like a Navy rescue diver or something, right?
Yeah.
Like be something completely out of left field. I don't, you know, whatever. You'd get rejected because it's like, hey, okay, look, maybe not the Navy. You probably get accepted to the Navy or whatever. But like if you applied to be like an accountant right now, they'd probably reject you because it's like, hey, you don't really have that much experience or whatever. And you didn't go to college for that or whatnot. Yeah. But if a propane, you know, salesman buys a baseball team, all of a sudden, everybody acts like he's perfectly qualified and competent.
And he didn't buy it 2 years ago and is like, currently trying to figure out how to be a baseball team owner.
I'm kind of coming to around on your perspective of this. Is it's like, he's just, you know, a salesman of propane and propane accessories. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, it's like, we all just assume that billionaires know what they're doing. And, of course, he has $1 billion. He's able to buy the Royals, so he must know how to run them. Like, clearly, he has to. He couldn't have gotten way in. Yeah, I'm coming around.
It's yeah. Like,
I think he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, he's just kind of out there. He's out there with a large sum of money and a baseball team, having no clue how to run a campaign, do anything with the city, or, like, how to actually, like, do.
I think we just Occam's razors this. Yeah. It's like, it's not like he's malicious or anything. He's just incompetent. Yeah, he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, and he seems like he can't make a decision on what he actually wants to do. He clearly wants something super, super cool.
He narrowed 17 sites down in January of last year to 2 sites in August of last year. And then he narrowed it down to 1 site in January of this year that was neither of the sites that he said in August. This is a man that is decisive as hell.
But the renderings are just copy and paste where they shift some stuff around. Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on.
Have you ever bought a car for your wife and then realized, wow, I actually have to pay for this thing, huh? Like I actually have to upkeep this Audi. Like, wow, this thing's kind of expensive, huh?
You're talking from experience?
Well, you know. It's like, huh? Anyways, that's John Sherman, guys. We've solved it. Like, right there. That's... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Have you ever hired 4 PR firms for 1 stadium bid and have to spend $3 million on advertisements to get people to vote yes for the best team in football? Like, you have to spend $3 million?
They're attached together. Because if they were separate, the Chiefs would get their sales tags, and the Royals would get nothing. But
they know it.
And it's just the Chiefs are shackled to a guy who doesn't really know what's going on.
And that's probably half of the reason why Clark Hunt has been so quiet about this. He had his little, like, press conference like a week ago, but they ultimately, like, John Sherman was out talking today because it's opening days tomorrow, and they, you know, he's got to be in front of the press. But Clark has been completely quiet because I think he knows that if this fails, they're fine. I mean, he could probably propose his own vote and they'd be fine, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this idiot John Sherman, like, what's he doing? He doesn't know what he's
doing. The only thing that would benefit Clark Hunt is he gets rid of Kaufman so he has more room for parking, or like the Bud Light Experience extravagant.
The RV parking, guys.
Yeah, we can put a carousel with like Bud Light, Bud Nights all around it, and people can throw up and be like hardcore cheese fans in the Bud Light Experience.
Didn't they like retire the Bud Knight like 5 years ago?
I don't know. I like the Bud Knight.
I did too. Anyways, So it's chapter four in which we solve the enigma of John Sherman.
John Sherman. He's just the guy who doesn't exactly know what's going on.
He's just Hank Hill, but if Hank Hill got $1 billion in a baseball team. It's hard when George Bush is better at running a baseball team than you.
Yeah, George Bush also owned a baseball team.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. So we're going to move on to chapter number five, which is Oak will not be closed. Oak Street will not be closed. RC touched on it a little bit, but we have definitely more since Mayor Quentin Lucas tweeted about it. But so Oak's not going to be closed, and that's from a tweet from Mayor Q. They are going to make sure that Oak stays open, and they're not going to allow any demolition of any businesses basically east of Oak.
Supposedly.
John
Sherman, I think when we started recording, did have a press conference where he came out and said that that will be a decision to be made after April 2nd, whether businesses will be demolished east of Oak. So we don't get to know until we vote on it.
But also the mayor just said that's not happening. So,
yeah,
it kind of back to the whole, like, why is this so sloppy? Like, we probably could have worked this out and make it like very clean and normal. But apparently there's a hurry up on this for some reason. But issue with closing of Oak, the Royals plan, Oak goes through right field.
Yeah, I did. They did mention that prematurely, but yeah, it kind of does go through. It's not just going through the businesses that they want to build, like the offices and stuff. It's kind of going through right field and a huge section of the right field seating.
Yeah.
Like,
And I really don't feel like digging the city or John Sherman is going to foot the bill for digging a tunnel.
Especially considering the fact they'd have to dig it under the highway that's already in a trench right there.
Yeah.
So they'd have to dig it. You know, you can't do a 90-degree incline on a tunnel. You have to dig it further back. So you'd effectively have to shut down Oak even more to not shut down Oak, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, that doesn't seem like a viable solution. Building a bridge over the baseball stadium is an option, I guess.
But that's going to look even worse, and it's going to destroy those sight lines.
Yeah, that would look worse than or, its current location.
Or you just deal with Oak being there and you build basically a knockoff Green Monster where you can't fit anything. Also, there's like a random jut out that doesn't makes the outfield all jaggedy.
But then at that point, you're cutting out seats and stuff, and it's kind of defeating the whole purpose of the downtown stadium being like a more affordable, walkable option if you're cutting out a lot of the...
You're also losing your like hotel and your offices and your like... Royals Live area.
Yeah.
So John Sherman, upon this news, basically immediately backed down and was just like, actually, we need to change the plan. That's what he kept on referencing throughout this episode, where usually the reason they're changing the plans is because he heard this and he was like, we need to completely redo it.
He got the mildest amount of pushback from one singular city official that isn't Frank White, and all of a sudden he is completely revising the entire plan.
6 days before the vote.
6 days before the vote, and after early voting has already started. So people have already cast their vote based off of the renderings that are no longer correct.
Yes.
So currently everybody who is voting and everybody who will vote will be voting blindly on something that we no longer know what it looks like. We no longer know what the plan is. We don't know how they're going to remediate the Oak situation. And the Oak staying open really does beg the question, why not just do it in the East Village at this point? Because...
Well, I'm curious if this is a ploy to make them go to the East Village.
Well, because all of a sudden, you know, the extended site where you have the big walkway walking over to the Sprint Center and you have the hotels and stuff connected, that's not an option because the site's not big enough for that. So you're going to have some separation via Oak, which is the same as in the East Village. Yeah. The big walkway is not going to work because... You can't walk like you'd just be walking on the road, which is the same as in the East Village. Like it seems like you've completely neutered all of the supposed benefits of the Crossroads location.
Yeah.
By just on a whim at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday, changing the entire design that you paid a company to make renderings for, that you've put $3 million towards getting a yes vote on. It's just like, this is not the action of a competent man.
Are we able to impeach baseball team owners?
I mean, you know, if if Dan Snyder can keep the Washington football team for as long as he can, I don't think anyone can.
I mean, yeah, but Dan Snyder did destroy like a career of like a park ranger because he was mad that he cut down trees illegally.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder cut down trees illegally.
Yeah. Dan Snyder did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, the Oak Street thing has just been kind of the bombshell of this entire process happening randomly today on our podcast record day, which is, hey, let's just, this entire thing, our entire last episode, everything we've been talking about, we're just going to on a whim change that. No, we're not going to close Oak, guys.
Yeah, and without closing Oak, literally, it's like the lot that they have shown for a baseball team, like basically from Grand to Oak, taking up like those built those like businesses, that church and Casey Star Building, but leaving Oak open. It's physically not big enough to fit an MLB regulation field in.
Yeah,
like it's not possible
unless you cut out like most of, unless you do like a green monster like in Fenway Park, which yes. I've seen some people be like, well, I could just do that, and it's like, but the green monster is iconic because it's like a couple hundred years old. Do you really want, and you're brand new, you know, you've been talking about like all these cool stadiums, do you really want to like put in a green monster by like on Shorty. Purpose?
Yeah,
like not because it's a 200 year old stadium that was just kind of built that way and it's iconic. You're really just going to do that in your brand new stadium,
and it's also going to seem like you're ripping off the Sox anyway.
Yeah. It's just like, guys, can we just go back to the drawing board? Like, can we just work on this? Like, just do a little bit more groundwork, you know, like maybe ask for an extension, pop a couple Adderalls, and actually work on the project for once.
Yeah. So this brings me to chapter 6, which I labeled Rant and Thoughts.
That could just be the whole podcast.
Yeah, it's... We are... I don't know. We've come to the conclusion, and if I'm not speaking for you, please let me know, that John Sherman probably has no idea what's going on. Mm. The Hunt family is just kind of like waiting in the background, hoping that the prestige would impact. Wait, what?
Oh, we just got an email from one of the people we emailed at KCTV5. They are going to be releasing the CBA, apparently, today. Oh. They just said, no big reason except delay on my part. The copy I got was paper. Then I used dark highlighter all over it at the meeting, and it didn't scan well, and then I got sidetracked. I'm working on getting a digital version so we can get it up. Okay, so they are going to be publishing it.
Yes.
My idea for this episode was originally just going to be breaking on the CBA, so we might do some form of other podcast before the vote.
We might do an emergency podcast.
Breaking on the CBA, because I do want to bring that to you guys, but there will supposedly, and we will tweet that out, we will publish that everywhere.
Thank you. It will be out. Thank you, Betsy Webster. We are sorry that we decided to, in the earlier, say that your organization was not commenting on this. You have commented. Good on you. We hopefully will see that soon.
That's your live update. Due diligence.
Due diligence. In the middle of me stammering through my closing thoughts and arguments.
Okay. Hey, it's a point. It's an update. That's breaking news. Cleo History, whatever we call this thing, Cleo Podcast.
Yeah,
Cleocast.
Yeah, our podcast.
Cleo History Podcast at gmail.com.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so this is a complete clusterfuck. They should go back to the drawing board. The Chiefs, are hoping that like they're able to get their super expensive like profit raising expensive seats, and the Royals have no idea what the fuck they want, and everyone's just kind of being stupid and making stupid arguments, basically saying that the Royals are going to move, or like they should say a Kauffman.
If I'm a journalist and I have any like cachet or whatever, here's a question I want to ask the Royals right now. Is every single one of these proposals, right, has had attached offices, has had attached hotels, all that stuff, because they want to generate money, because that's what you need to do as a baseball team to be relevant, right? My question for them is, if you're paying for that on your own, right? That's what they've said every single time. The Royals, the money we're giving them is only going to the stadium, and they're paying for that on their own. Why can't we just pay and build a stadium somewhere, and then they build the hotels, they build the offices or something, somewhere else? Why do they have to be attached as one mega project? Why can't they just find a couple of good empty lots somewhere nearby and put the hotels or whatever there? I just fundamentally, I don't think anybody has explained it. And I do not understand why those have to be attached in every single rendering to the stadium, like directly. Why can't they just be like you open a restaurant kind of nearby to take advantage of it? Like, I just that's something in my rant part of this, I just don't understand why that they're like married together to the point where like Oak Street has to be closed so that we can have the hotels right there. It's like there's plenty of empty lots. Just put it somewhere else. You're paying for it on your own, so it doesn't need to be a part of this project, right?
Yeah. I'm still thinking about the email, though. I feel like we should probably maybe issue an apology about their whole like rant about journalistic integrity we did a little bit earlier.
Considering... No, I'll still keep that rant because I think that you should put in the article that you're trying to publish it, or you should maybe just publish it immediately and not allow your delay, because this is a 6 days. You're probably going to publish it at 8 o'clock. This is my criticism to Betsy if she's listening to this. I will apologize for some of the wording earlier, but it's just like, look, you're doing this. This is a major $2 billion vote. You're a journalist. Your job is to inform the public. I'm sorry. You picked the job of being a journalist. That wasn't handed to you. You need to get this information out as quickly as possible. Like you got to do it. Like, you just have to. If you're the one that going to the meeting, you're the only one in like the entire KC media sphere that's there. You have the only copy. It is your job to get that to the public. You're a journalist. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't like, I'm not going to bring up 9/11, but you don't like do the 9/11 and then like not report on it. Cause it's like, come on guys, your job is to report on stuff.
Okay. You can't compare 9/11 with the like,
yes, I can. Book. I just did.
I don't know. Betsy.
You got to report on the stuff. It's a breaking major news story. The CBA, it's 60 pages. Manny's released the only copy of it. You have the only copy of it. Publish it. Take photos of it. Just do whatever you got to do. You highlighted it. Just take photos if it's not scanning well. Your job is to break stories. How are you not more engaged? I don't get it.
Betsy, we appreciate your response, and I am so sorry.
Thank you for calling our podcast cool.
Thank you.
You're the only one who's ever done that.
She'll sit amongst the hate emails.
Yeah, she will. Stan Tom, I'm going to print that email out and put it on my wall. Someone called me cool.
Someone called
First
me cool.
First time in my life.
Someone told us not to just do research live on a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got criticism once and then we stopped uploading episodes for a month. Don't say mean things to me on the internet.
And we're totally just going to say that it was because you're planning a wedding, which is true. We're getting delirious. True. This episode's going on way too long. I hope you enjoyed our Royals update, I guess. Do you have any other thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts. I didn't even go through my notes.
We have more. I am so sorry.
Look, I just don't understand how you can be a billionaire, you can own a successful business that makes more money than I'll ever see in my life, and not know how to manage like deadlines in a project. Like, you could literally hire 40 people to manage deadlines and stuff for you. I don't understand it. Oh yeah, other thing. That's with the CBA. We'll do the CBA episode. What are you guys taking care of? We'll get this done. I'm just, you immediately got on your phone. I'm trying to get you to...
I'm hitting a wall.
Yeah. Do the outro.
Okay.
We're done, guys. We're done.
All right. This has been an episode of CleoCast. My name is Matt.
And I am unfortunately RC still.
You can follow us on Twitter at CleoHistory. You can email us at CleoHistoryPodcast@gmail.com. Please be nice to us there. We're available where you get podcasts, likes and shares and whatever are very helpful. And reviews on Spotify are also very helpful as well. We're available where you get podcasts.
You can say things nice about us on Spotify, I think. Yeah. A lot of you have left star, like 5-star reviews, which is nice, but you can like say that we're cool guys.
No, we're going to end up cursing ourselves and someone's going to just yell at us.
I
all right. I like well, okay. Board. Bye. Thank okay, you.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Vote your conscience.